thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're going to have a little video that we've played this video a couple of times over the last number of years, and somebody sent me a wee text maybe a month or more ago asking if maybe we could see it one more time. And tonight is the right night to see this little video. It's S.M. Lockridge, a very old preacher from many years ago, speaking about the characteristics of God. There's not many more things that thrill my soul. So let's just listen to him bringing the characteristics, attributes of God.
Try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my King? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Yeah. Do you know him? He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords.
would just be enough, wouldn't it? Maybe I'll just go on home. Isn't that amazing? What a voice. What a voice. What a truth. What a multitude of truths. Let's turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Going to read some select verses. Going to read verses 1 and 2, 5 to 8, and 14 to 16. Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Verse 5. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. I'm going to read those two verses again. Beautiful verses. Or actually just verse 15. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. I read this psalm, Psalm 89, a few weeks ago, just as part of my own daily devotions. And I have to say, it was one of those wow moments for me. It was a moment for me when, as I was reading, my heart was absolutely pounding in my chest. I just read and reread those words of Psalm 89. And I felt the verses I've read tonight, I felt if ever a portion of scripture summarized my testimony, these are the words. So tonight, I will just admit up front, I like a sermon that's got a very, very clear structure, and I don't feel this sermon has a very clear structure, which is a bit bad for my very last sermon here. But nonetheless, it's my heart. This is my heart. This is my testimony. It was written, this psalm, quite a long time ago, a long psalm by a man called Ethan, the Ezrahite. And in it, he is addressing some of the big questions of life. Now, we won't be considering those this evening, because the other focus of this psalm, and the part that most powerfully resonated with me, was the emphasis on the character and the attributes of our wonderful God. Here are some that are just specifically mentioned or alluded to in this psalm. You are a faithful God. You are a God of love. You are a righteous God. You are a God of justice. You, God, have all strength. You are incomparable. You are awesome. You are fearful. You are a God of wonders. You are a covenant-making God. You are a God who chooses. You are a mighty God. You are the creator and ruler of creation and nature. You are a holy God. You are a God of wrath. Wow, in one psalm. When I read something like this psalm that packs in so much of the character of God, and then how God's character is demonstrated in the natural world around us, in the grand grand scheme of history and in the personal details of people's individual lives, I feel my heart soaring in praise and worship of this God, my God, your God. Because this psalm highlights that God is worthy, always worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Our journey of faith is a process of learning. It's a process of learning to honor God, to honor God for who he is and how he shows and demonstrates his character in the heavens above, in the earth, and in our lives. Those two verses, I would say the key verses of the psalm, 15 and 16. Blessed are those who have learned, very important word there, who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. Friends, all of us, every one of us, face challenges to our faith. When people ask you, why does God allow that war in Ukraine? Why does God allow people like Putin to just do what he wants to do? Why is there famine? Why is there suffering? Why do good people die and bad people seem to get all the good things happen to them? These are big challenges that come to our faith. We may also face challenges in our individual lives, and I'm sure all of us have personal difficulties, stresses, trials, and testing. And the challenge is this. We may be tempted to think that God is not actually in control, that events that are happening are just random, that the kings of this earth and rulers make decisions and that God is not in control. Tempted to think that God is not good, that God is not loving, that God is not faithful. We may be tempted to think, well, if God is so good, why do I have to go through this trial, this painful circumstance? If we look at things on a global level or a personal level from this horizontal perspective, we will come to the conclusion that God is not good, God is not powerful, God is not just, God is not righteous, God is not loving. But when we look at life from a vertical perspective, and we feast our minds and our spirits and our hearts on the truth that is the Word of God, we feast on the character of God, then we will, as the psalmist says, learn to acclaim God for who he truly is. The meaning of acclaim is to praise enthusiastically and publicly. I love that. I do not know what I'm going to do when I go to a church where I can't sit at the front. Because I can assure you, if you were sitting in front of me, you wouldn't want to hear my singing. I can assure you of that. But anyway, I like to be enthusiastic in my singing. I like to be enthusiastic. The person who has learned to acclaim God is blessed. Why are they blessed? They're not blessed because they're saying something they don't really believe, but because they do believe. They believe that God is who he says he is, that he says he is the Almighty One, that all things are in his hands, that he's good all the time, he's loving, he's faithful. The word learned here is an important word. Because if you've been a Christian any length of time, it's not long before you're faced with a trial, with a test, with some circumstance that makes you wonder, is God so good? Is God so loving? But God uses these tests, these trials, these circumstances to teach us See, that's what learning's about, being taught to teach us and to show us who he really is. It is in the difficult times in our lives that we learn to prove God, to prove him for ourselves. All these attributes of God that we may know by name, they become real to us. Friends, that's what it's about. It's not just rhyming off a list of what God is, who God is. It's when these truths about who God is becomes real to us in your and my personal experience. Then we learn to lean on God, really lean on him to an even greater degree. Then it says they have learned, or it talks about they walk in the light of his presence. Now, of course, you know, I know, if you're a Christian, you are always in the presence of God. He is present with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He's not just present with you. He's present within you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that, and a comfort, such a comfort that is. But there's a sense in which it's different to walk in the light of his presence. This is much more experiential. And it means as we walk through difficult experiences in our lives, the good times, the hard times, where we maybe don't know what God's doing or why he has permitted something to happen, we can still walk in the light of his presence. The first time, as I say, when I read this psalm, it's obviously not the first time I've read it in my life, but when I read it a couple of weeks ago, I was struck by this phrase about walking in the light of his presence. And as I was reading, and I read it through a few times, and I was just speaking to the Lord in my heart, I said, Lord, that's what I want to do. I want to walk in the light of your presence. And I had this kind of image in my mind of, you know, somebody on stage, and you know the way the spotlight comes down, you've got a darkened stage, and this person's just standing in the spotlight, in the dark, everything else is dark, they're just in the spotlight. That's the image I got. Walking in the light of his presence. Maybe looking the next day, the next week, the next month, well, none of us knows what's happening. But for myself, for me, this phrase illuminates what's happening in my life at this present time. Over these past few years, more particularly these last few months, I'll have to say I do not understand God's plan in everything that's happening with me and Graham. I don't understand what the next step is, but there's one thing I do know. God's plans for us are good all the time, and they are for his glory all the time. And I know one thing, for a person who loves to organize, I get up on a Monday morning, I write a list, sometimes on a Sunday night, I write my list for the week, what I'm going to do, who I'm going to see, little jobs I have to do. I like my lists. I love to organize. And I'm thinking, a couple of weeks' time, I'll not have a list to write, apart from planning a trip to the Outer Hebrides in my tent. Not have a list to write. Nothing really to organise apart from cleaning my house, which is a bit neglected. I don't know what the next week after that will hold, or the next day, or the future. But I reject all fear of the unknown, because in my heart, I've settled one thing. God is good. God is loving. God is kind. God is faithful. I have learned through almost 47 years of following Jesus, I have learned and I'm still learning to acclaim him as my God and to walk in the light of his presence. So I feel like that person in this darkened kind of stage of which is called life, and I'm in that kind of wee spotlight in the middle, me and Graham holding hands, except he's not here tonight to hold his hand, and we're just going to walk step by step in that light. We don't need to know. You don't need to know tomorrow, the next day, the next week. None of us know in any case. We don't need to know. All you need to know is that God is good. God is loving. God is kind. His plans for you are for your good. Even the bad things, even the hard things, they are for your good and for his glory. I think I may have told you before, I follow a blog of a man, a Canadian pastor and writer, Tim Challies. And in September, November maybe, 2020, he was at a theological college of some, and he was just playing games with other students there, and he just dropped down dead, 20 years of age, in the middle of the virus, and it was a whole big palaver trying to organise everything because of the travel restrictions between Canada and where his son was living in America. And he said, obviously the pain and the intensity of the pain of that, but he just held his wife, he looked into her eyes, and he said, you know, we're brokenhearted, sorrowful, we don't know a thing about a lot of stuff. But here's what we do know. God is good. God is kind. God is loving. God is faithful. God is all powerful. God is God of wonders. And he just began speaking out the attributes of God. These are the foundation stones of our lives. Friends, this is my testimony. This is the foundation of my life. True at all times. It says, I rejoice, verse 16, in his name all day long. Rejoicing in him. Isn't it good to rejoice in him? Not to be with a miserable voice. And now back to the beginning of the psalm. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. This is part of the acclamation of the Lord, publicly and enthusiastically singing of his great love forever. And privately, Graham said to me, will you just stop singing that? I got an old chorus in my head about the love of God, and because I've been thinking about this sermon, and I was singing it and singing it and singing it, and he just said last night, Rhonda, you've sung that enough now. Will you just stop singing that one now? Can you change the tune? And it was then I remembered that Phil, sitting there in the drum, says he can't look at me because I put him off his drumming stride with my clapping. I will clap. I will clap to the Lord's great love forever, Phil. But I'll just try not to sit near a drummer. It's not onerous to praise the Lord, is it? It's not onerous to sing of the Lord's great love forever. It's a wonderful thing. If you're feeling down, folks, sing of the Lord's great love. Lift your own spirit by singing of his love. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Has God been faithful to you in your life? Of course he has, because he couldn't be other than that. He's been faithful to me. And we're to speak about his faithfulness from the youngest babies to the oldest person we know. We're to speak about his faithfulness. I will declare that his love stands firm forever. This is great. That you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. God has established it. It's not, God's faithfulness is not affected by the things in this world, by the things that seem to go wrong in your life or on the global scale. God has established his faithfulness in heaven itself. That's why Ethan says, I will sing and speak of God's faithfulness through all generations, make it known. As I've read through this psalm, something has stood out to me. This is not a psalm about inward feelings or beliefs about God. It's a psalm about expression. You can believe God is faithful. You can believe God is love. You can believe these things. But folks, you need to give it expression. It doesn't always have to be louder, though enthusiasm does tend to not be a whisper, generally speaking. Enthusiastically acclaiming him, praising Him, allowing what's in your heart out of your heart. We sang that song tonight, and we don't know it maybe overly well here. Your goodness is running after me. I love that song. His goodness is coming running after us. What does the Psalm 23 say? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not a little trickles. It's running after us and filling us and overflowing from us. And I will declare that your love stands firm forever. This isn't singing. It's not just ordinary speaking. It's declaring. Do you like to declare things? I always say, my sisters laugh at me, as most of you know, I do supply teaching, and they say, like, how do you do that? You know, going to a class and you know absolutely nothing about the subject. Speak it with authority and you'll be all right. That's my policy. Graham learned very quickly when we got married, we used to go places and I just say, it's this way, and I'd be marching off and he'd be coming, sort of running to catch up. I have zero sense of direction and I was quite often wrong. They say, you just said it with such authority, I believed you. But one thing I say with authority, I make a declaration, the love of the Lord stands firm forever. That's not just something that I don't know, so I'm just making it up, and if I say it loud enough and strong enough, people will think I know. That is the truth. I will declare with authority, your love stands firm forever. So when the devil tries to whisper in your ear, God doesn't really love you that much. When that trial comes along and he tries to whisper to you, if you were really living right, you'd be in the blessing of God and not going through that trial. That is not true. That is not true. God uses these trials and these circumstances and difficulties to refine us, to make us more like Jesus, to teach us to acclaim him, to teach us to lean on him. Just say right back to the devil, I declare the love of the Lord stands firm forever. Hallelujah. So in conclusion this evening, this is my testimony. God has chosen me and you to belong to him. He chose me before the creation of the world to belong to Christ. Wow. I heard that call as an 8-year-old child sitting in Tullygarley Mission Hall in the children's meeting. I was 8 years of age. I put my hand up. I chose to respond to his call in my life. And all my life, he has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.